Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22 and the first six verses. Joshua 22 and verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice, and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he hath promised them. Therefore now return ye, and go you into your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. Once again, good morning. We are honored for your presence this morning, and our psalm tonight at 5:30 will be 130. So I hope you can join us for that. As we're looking at Ed the altar, the sign at the road, the sign here, if you saw where I posted on Facebook, we're going to be talking about this. You may have gone, what in the world is he talking about? And if that's you, hang on, because in this lesson, we're going to talk about Ed the altar. And this is not just something crazy that I have just pulled out of thin air. And I think you'll see where we're going when we get at the end of the sermon. And if not, I'm recording it and we can play it back for you later. We can go over it again and again and again and again. About our lesson text here in Joshua 22, which, by the way, I will go ahead and tell you now, if you maybe have like a ribbon marker in your Bible or an index card or something, you may want to put it in Joshua 22, because we're going to go through this chapter and then we're going to break away and mention other things and come back to it, so that way you can be ready to flip back when we do. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, we're told how the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, they desired to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Now, if you remember, on the western side is the land of Canaan, the land that they were supposed to go in and drive out the inhabitants of the land, which is the story of the book of Joshua. But Reuben's tribe, Gad's tribe, and half of Manasseh's tribe, they wanted to stay on the east side. And they said, we'll be fine if we can just settle here. Moses said, in effect, I'm paraphrasing here, he said, you can do it. But in order for you to settle on the east side of the land, you can't get out of helping your brethren. So you're going to have to go into the promised land with us. You're going to have to fight with us. And then when we've driven out all the inhabitants, then you can go back and you can settle there. And so Joshua chapter 4 tells us these tribes, they went armed into the western part and they fought as if their land was in that part. After these wars were completed, these men are returning to the eastern side of the Jordan to be with their families, because they've left their families on the eastern side, and just those that are fighting have gone into battle, which makes sense. And in Joshua chapter 22 is the story of their return and all the events that are surrounding them. So there are a couple of things I want us to note from this passage, and if you're taking notes, there are four of them, and they all start with the letter F to make your life and my life easier. So as we talk about Ed the altar, from Joshua 22, first off, we need to talk about fellowship. We need to talk about fellowship. We've already read the first six verses. Let's pick up in verse 7 and go through verse 9. Now, to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. And to the other half thereof, Joshua gave among their brethren on this side the Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spoke unto them, saying, Return with much riches to your tents, with very much cattle, silver, gold, brass, iron, and very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh returned, departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan, and to the land, to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So now Joshua, because Moses passes away, he doesn't even make it to the promised land. He gets to see it. That's another great sermon for another great day. But we see that Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh are told to return home with your blessings. They had done a great job. They had been fighting. They were faithful to their task. And notice, they have a blessing of the faithful. They have much riches. They have much cattle, much precious metal, silver, gold, brass, iron, and a whole lot of clothing. Of course, they went into Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, and they were told to take nothing. And we'll learn about a man who didn't do that in a minute. And then after Jericho, then they're told they're allowed to take the spoils of war. So as we go through it, and literally, starting in Joshua chapter 8 through about chapter 21, it's they go into this town and they conquer it, and they go into this town and this one. So you think about all these wars and these battles they're having, they have accumulated a lot of possessions. They're told, take it back to the other side of the Jordan River and distribute the wealth. Now, when we are faithful to the Lord's designs and to the Lord's commands, then we have blessings and fellowship. Let's flip quickly to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8 and see an example of this under the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8. God says, or the Bible says, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. They're told, as they're before they even get into the promised land, that if they do what God had told them to do, God is going to bless them. And their storehouses are going to be full. In other words, they're not going to have a need of want of anything by the time this journey is through. Now, they have to be faithful to God at each and every step, but that's under the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, for that, we flip over to Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. Luke 11, 28, we have God's blessing for being faithful to Him. Luke 11, 28, Jesus Christ says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There's you a twofold promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're blessed if we hear the word. Does He stop at hearing and all we have to do? No. He says, if you hear the word of God and if you keep it, then you're blessed. Brethren, we can have fellowship. We can be blessed. Now, one of the great blessings of fellowship is unity in and amongst our brethren. That's what John's talking about in 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're unified with Christ in our thoughts and our actions and our desires. This is the exact same thing that Jesus Christ prayed for in John 17, round about verses 20 through 23. But the whole chapter of John 17 is Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prays for unity. Unity is something Paul tells those at Ephesus in Ephesians 4 and 3 that we must endeavor, we must strive to keep unity. And one of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament is Psalm 133 and 1. It's a blessed thing when brethren dwell together in unity. And we saw that in our gospel meeting. And we see that when we go among other brethren, we all dwell together. We're all unified. We're all of one thought, one mind, the end goal of being pleasing to God. So the first thing we see in Joshua 22, we see they had fellowship. Because even though 2.5 tribes are on the east side and then the remaining tribes are on the west side, that didn't matter. They were all still united in fellowship. That's our first thing. Our second point, their second letter F, they had a falling out. There was a falling out. There was a problem. Pick back up our reading if you don't mind. In Joshua 22, we'll be doing verses 10 through 20. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was a head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following God, in that ye have builded an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away from this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, and tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel, notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, and rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? We see fellowship, and now we see a falling out. When all the tribes had returned, they built a great altar on their side near the Jordan River. And word jumps across the river. They built this altar, and it gets back to the remaining 9.5 tribes that are on the west side of the Jordan, and they don't like it. They think they have fallen out. They think they're rebelling against God. So what do? They rise up to go against war against their own brethren. This would be a civil war. Brother against brother, literally. But at least to their credit, before they go to war, they send Phinehas, who is the head honcho, if you will, and Eleazar the priest. He's the son of Eleazar the priest, and he takes 10 representatives, one from each of the chief tribes. And they go, they cross the Jordan, and they want to know, basically, if it were me, they'd grab them by their collar and shake them out and say, what are you doing? That's not what it says. But they're going over and they're questioning them because they're on the brink of fighting amongst their brothers. So they're trying to either figure out, is this war justified, or do we need to turn around and go back home? And then Phinehas reminds them of something called the sin of Peor, there in verse 17, and in that's found in Numbers chapter 25, by the way. Some people went to worship Baal in Peor. Some of God's chosen people stopped worshiping God, started worshiping an idol, and God killed 24,000 of them on the spot. Because God doesn't play around. And so Phinehas is reminding him, he says, are you doing the same thing that happened back at Peor? Did you not learn your lesson then? We're still unclean from some of the things that happened in God's eyes because you did this. And then at the end, he talks about a man whose name is Achan, who we learn about in Joshua chapter 7. Those Achan eyes. Remember, we talked about Jericho just a minute ago. And Jericho, they were told, don't take anything. But what does Achan do? He sees this great gold and silver, and he wants to take it for himself. He goes and buries it under his tent. He's found out. He and his whole family are killed. Because God says, I don't want you to do this. So now, Phinehas is reminding them of what happened to him. He's worried. Phinehas is worried. You can tell that something similar would happen to the people on the east side and the west side of the Jordan if they're turning to worship an idol. Because that's what they think the intention of this altar is. Now, notice there is an appropriate concern expressed here. The eastern tribes, they've erected something that is seemingly religious. An altar. On the outside, it looks religious. It looks as if they're going to bow down and worship something. Maybe they thought they're going to return to the patriarchal system. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20 tells us that when Noah gets off the ark, the first thing he does, he builds an altar. And he offers a sacrifice. And it was a sweet smelling odor to the Lord. That's also the first altar we have recorded. Physically, altar recorded in Scripture. We think about Abraham used an altar in Genesis 22, and he was going to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, the son of promise. We think about Isaac used an altar in Genesis 26 and 25. Jacob used an altar, Genesis 35 and 1. So maybe they think they're going to go back to the patriarchal system. Because you have Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they used altars. Many had concluded that they're just going to abandon the law of Moses, which is the law they were under. They were concerned there'd be division. They were concerned the Lord would punish them. And first and foremost, they wanted to make sure they were doing things the way God had commanded them. And brethren, that's a great admonition for us today as well. First and foremost, we need to make sure, am I doing, are you doing what God has commanded us to do? Let's quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, because this goes right along with our thoughts here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I feel you are familiar with this passage. 1 Peter 4 and 11. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, and that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, i.e., if any man speaks, let him do it in the way that God wants him to speak. That's the same sentiment Jesus carries in John 12, 48-50. He talks about you're going to be judged by my words. You need to go out and speak my words. Now we see that there's an appropriate action taken. They gathered for war. They wanted to be prepared for the worst thing possible. And so they send ambassadors. And they need to take appropriate reaction to a potential division. I'm reminded of what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18 and how we need to confront people. He says, paraphrasing here, Matthew 18, 15 through 20, if a man wrongs you, first you go to him. And if that doesn't work, you take somebody with you, two or three people. And if that doesn't work, then you bring it before the congregation. That's God's plan for trying to stifle division under the New Testament. And that's what the elders did in Acts chapter 15. The elders and apostles got together and they made sure they were all teaching, preaching, and believing the same thing. We don't need to have division. Brethren, we cannot afford to sit idly by when problems arise. Here, the people on the west side of the Jordan River, they saw a potential problem, and so they go to combat it before it gets out of hand. I'm afraid too many times in the Lord's church, I know it happens in the world, but I'm afraid too many times it happens in the Lord's church, we see a potential problem, and we just kind of sit by and think, well, somebody else is going to take care of that. The problem is you're the somebody else said. You say somebody else to take care of it, they say somebody else take care of it for you. You know what? It's a big problem and nothing's been done. So they have fellowship, they have a falling out. Number three, there's fact finding. There's fact finding. And we'll pick back up our reading of Joshua 21, or 22, verse 21 through 29. Read with me, please. Joshua 22, 21. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering or peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto your children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they should so say to us, or to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, Behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord, but to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before the tabernacle. What's happening? After they're being confronted and having their collars shaken, the 2.5 tribes, they respond. And they say that God knows whether they've transgressed or not. And they state that if they have built it for worship purposes, then the Lord will require it of them and they'll be punished. However, they say, we had different intentions. They desired for their children to remember that they too worship the same God with the rest of Israel in Jerusalem. They built it so their children and future generations knew that they were the exact same as those on the other side of the Jordan. They did not want the rest of Israel years to come say, you have no part, you're on the wrong side of the river. They agreed that they ought not to rebel against God. And they knew that they shouldn't worship in an unauthorized way. The 2.5 tribes respected God's knowledge of all things. They knew to be faithful to God and not be wicked. They knew that God's law had the authority in all their lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. They knew this. Hadn't been written yet, but they knew the principle behind it, that they should lean upon the Lord and not to their own ideas. They offer a reasonable explanation. They wanted a memorial for their children to remember what had happened. That's all they wanted. We see in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to those that ask anything of you. Now that word answer is the same word we get our English word apologetics from. Always be ready to give a detailed, thorough, thought out answer. That's what these 2.5 tribes did. They were ready for the answer. No doubt in my mind as they were building it, they thought at some point somebody's going to ask us, why have you done this thing? Brethren, today, if we're going to have peace in the religious world, we need to recognize that God's written word, the Bible, is our only authority for religious practices today. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. He's complete. He's lacking nothing. We recognize respecting God's authority, and we do what he said. So we've had fellowship, a falling out. We've had fact-finding. And our last letter F is fairness. We need to have fairness. Pick back up our reading in verse 30 through the end of the chapter. And when Phinehas, the priest, and the princes of the congregation of the heads of the thousand of Israel were with him, they heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, and out of the land of Gilead, into the land of Canaan, and to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go a battle against them, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. For it shall be a witness between us and that the Lord is God. Now do you see why we're studying Ed the altar? That's it, the altar's name. Now Ed literally means, here in verse 34, a witness. So he said we're going to call this statue, this altar, Ed. And Ed means a witness. Phinehas heard their statement. He was pleased with it. They concluded they've not transgressed God's will. In fact, they're doing something that will help them be pleasing to God, keep them in line with God's will. He concluded that fellowship still existed among them. He concluded that God's not going to punish them for their actions. So he returns home. And he starts to tell people what had happened. And they in turn appreciate it. And there is peace in Israel. And they call the altar Ed. And the testimony that both sides, the east side and the west side, they acknowledge God as, or Yahweh as their God. Now we learn, in order to be fair with those that we have a falling out with, and this is hard for us to do, to be fair for those we've had a falling out with, we need to hear the other side of the story. If Phinehas and the people on the east side had reacted upon their own thoughts, they would have potentially killed their brethren for a misunderstanding. There was nothing wrong going on here. I think about what James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see that winning equation there from James? We need to be swift to hear. We need to hear what's going on, but slow to speak. We need to make sure we've heard it all. And we need to be slow to wrath. Sometimes we hear people say things that make us mad. But maybe they don't know the whole story, they don't know what they're talking about, so we don't need to just fly off the handle every time that happens. We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Something we also learn from Phinehas is that he discerned between things that were secular or worldly, and things that were religious. It was not that the 2.5 tribes had intended to use this altar for religious reasons. They had not designed it for worship. It was merely a secular thing. It was merely a worldly thing to memorialize, to remind them that their nations are unified. And sometimes we need to make the same distinctions today. For example, mechanical instruments are fine for secular uses, but they don't belong in the worship of the Lord. That teaching is found nowhere in God's Scripture. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3 tell us we sing with grace in our hearts, with our vocal cords we sing to God. That's making a distinction between secular and religious. And that's just one example. We learn from fellowship, we learn that our fellowship relies and rests upon issues related to salvation. We're all unified this morning because we've all obeyed the same gospel. We all hold the same beliefs. We're not distinct. We don't have some people thinking this thought and some person thinking this thought. Well, it exists in the denominational world and in some churches. We're unified. Why? Because that's what God wants us to be. When we've looked at Joshua 22, the four F's, we had a fellowship. We had a falling out. There was fact-finding. And then there's fairness. And you figured out why we were studying about the altar named Ed. Where are you at this morning? Let's bring it forward to a 2019 application. Are you in fellowship with your brethren? You ought to be. I hope you haven't had a falling out. If you have, you need to do some fact-finding. You need to see exactly what has occurred, and you need to be fair. If somebody has fallen away, they need to come back. But if it's just somebody misunderstood what somebody said, you just resolve that and keep going. Maybe you've not obeyed the gospel. Maybe you think, you know, I've been meaning to, and I don't know why, I've just been putting it off. Today is your day. Everything's prepared. We'd love to assist you. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Sins washed away, come out of water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this morning, why not? If you have, keep going. Keep remaining faithful unto death. Revelation 2 verse 10 is a promise. We'll have that crown of life. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, be unified. We're unified through His Word. If you're not living through His Word, make it right this morning. If we can help in any way, please let it be known while we stand.